Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. Joan Adams and I host this show. The call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. Our guest this evening is Craig Ferguson, who is passionate about solar, wind, and all technologies that do not harm Mother Earth. I believe we would all be interested in knowing what we can do to get off the oil grid and use more natural technologies to supply our energy. But before we bring Craig on the show, I would like to introduce my friend Joan Adams. And I see there's two 803 numbers, so forgive me if I bring the wrong person on, but just a minute here. Hello, Joan?
Yes.
Hello.
Right one. One has to be me and one has to be Craig, I imagine.
I love to take chances like that. I feel like I just did a little gambling thing. So how are you this evening?
Doing great. Upset with Google, I'm telling you. That just throws me off. The
what
email's
happened?
Email's not working.
Oh.
Google's down. So,
oh, darn.
Anyway, it works if you go to iGoogle. Just to tell everybody, if you go to iGoogle, it will work. But
well, you are a genius.
No, I found out on Twitter, actually. Someone on Twitter told me. Yeah, it was great.
You know where to go. You know where to go.
Right.
Okay, just a minute here. I think we have Craig. Good evening, Craig.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
And you know Joan is on the other line.
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey,
Craig.
Hey, Joan, how are you?
I'm great. Excited
Good.
To hear, learn from you tonight.
Well, I hope I can add a little bit. Here.
I'm sure
sounds like
you
y'all
can.
Probably know a pretty good bit.
No, Kate does. Well, I don't. So
what I'd like to know first of all is how the two of you, obviously you grew up in the same town, and you know each other that way. But how did you first meet?
Oh my.
Oh my, is right.
I've known Craig since he was a little fella, at First Presbyterian, right? So way back.
First Presbyterian, I believe that. First time that we met was when Joan's husband came to Rock Hill to be
right.
the golf pro at the country club. And
that's
so
right.
I was a junior golfer, and that's where I met Joan and her husband and kids and known them for, 35 years,
mm-hmm.
40 years,
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah, forever.
But I'm only 25.
Well, so are we.
That's what I thought.
Well, that's very interesting, and it's great to be from the same hometown, as it were, and there's something so precious about all of, well, I guess, Joan, you weren't originally from Rock Hill, but it sounds like, Craig, you were and are.
Well, my family, my father is originally from Rock Hill, and we moved around some and ended up back here in 1970. I was
mm-hmm.
9 years old, so pretty much
mm-hmm.
all my life.
Well, there's something very precious about being from the same place for so many generations. And, as a kid, you may not, or I know that I live in my hometown, and I didn't quite appreciate it when I was growing up, but now I really do. It's just so, people I meet, I've known for 35, 40, 50 years, some of them, and it goes that our families knew each other and their families, and, it's quite a very precious experience.
I agree.
Absolutely. They say there's no friends like old friends, right?
That's right. Now, we have somebody else on the line. Let's just bring them on a minute. Hello there.
Hello, it's KK. It's just, I'm just listening because I wanted to be sure and hear the whole thing. I'm having to go. I'm driving home.
Oh,
well, hi, KK. Nice to hear your voice.
Hey, darling.
So
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just listening.
KK,
well,
I love your shirt.
You have my shirt?
Yeah, I love your shirt. That's so cool.
Thank you.
And what a great way to advertise. I'm impressed. Totally impressed.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, fun to watch you do that.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I'm having fun.
It looks
I'm
like
I'm having a blast. Yeah, every day is just a surprise, I tell you. But anyway, I certainly didn't want to butt in on your show today. Y'all just carry on, and I'm listening.
Good. We're
Thank
glad
you.
You're here.
Thank you.
Thank you, KK.
Yes.
Y'all, KK is, Kate, you might can explain what she's doing better than I did now that I've mentioned it, but she was wanting to go to seminar with Pat O'Brien. And trying to raise the money to go, right? And this is about what she did. So she had this shirt made, and she's having people buy ads on the shirt and saying that she will wear it at the seminar. And it's working. It is amazing.
Yeah. People
amazing.
Love it. They
yeah.
totally love it. It gets her to the seminar, and it's also giving her quite the, well, not that she didn't have an internet presence before, but now she's, you know, just getting more and more of a reputation of being the generous, wonderful person that she is.
Right. It's just fun to watch her do that.
Yes. So, Craig, I would love to know what led you to this wonderful interest of yours, solar, I gather it's solar, wind, and probably all kinds of other technologies to get us off the oil grid. Is that a term that you're familiar with?
That it is, very familiar.
Okay.
And we are a conservation store, if you will, with our main products being solar, both PV, the photovoltaic, and thermal. And I can tell you about that in a little bit. But my background is I was a stockbroker for 20 years and sold investments and got a little bit burnout with that and had the opportunity to take a package and leave the investment business. And when I did, at the same time, a friend of mine, a long old friend for 35 years, came to me who had also taken a package and a downsizing in his business, and he just came to me and said, "Craig, we need to get into this green energy." And now, I don't think you'll be surprised, but coming from the investment side, I was a little bit leaning towards the right on everything, and I just said, I don't know anything about that. I would not be a good candidate for it. And at the time, all the candidates were still in the primaries for both the Democratic and the Republican race for president, and I started hearing every one of them talking about it. Every one of them, we've got to do this. We've got to go green. We've got to start using renewables. And so my partner, Tim Tooten, and I got together, and to make a long story short, we searched and searched, and we entered into an agreement with a company that's called the USA Solar Stores, which is based out of Vermont. And we're not a franchise, but we're a co-op. And
oh, that's great. I love it.
And it gives us the buying power of, I believe we have 20 stores. And it's very new, a very new concept here in the South. We did a lot of training in New England, and I think that the people up there are a little more in tune with it, and they probably, because they have to pay more for utility rates than we do, but that's all changing. So anyway, that's how I ended up in this business. And we have been open for about 14 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And done some, I think, some good things, and hope to do a lot more.
And as you say, a lot of what you're doing right now is education.
It is. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. Right now, it's probably 90% education, and, you know, sales in there comes at about 2%, maybe. But education is the major thing, and a lot of people hear it. They have a little, you know, a little knowledge of, I know that there's some stimulus money out there, and I would like to produce my own electricity, and then we take it from there. And it's an interesting education process, but it is an education nonetheless.
But yes, because
go
ahead. You wouldn't be doing it if...
I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think that it was not a good thing to do or the right thing to do. And I believe that it is.
In the beginning, you had mentioned Republicans and Democrats, but I think there are just certain things that have nothing to do with politics, and this is one of them. This is not a Republican or a Democratic issue. It's all of us. It affects all of us.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think that you could make a case, if you really needed to, for either side, because, you know, it is doing, you know, what is best for the environment. And it's also, you know, on the flip side, letting people be in charge and take control of their energy usage. And how much they use is, of course, up to the individual, but they also can choose to produce it however they want to.
Exactly.
So it's a lot like, you know, when I bring the investment part of it in, it's like buying futures in your in energy. That's exactly what it is.
Right. It is, isn't it?
And I will say this, the politics part of it is the tricky part, because, you know, there is a lot of tax credits and stimulus, and it does change and will change with whoever's in office. But I think that both parties, as well as independents, agree that this is, you know, renewable energies is definitely the way to go. We have to take advantage of that as much as we can. I mean, there's only a finite amount of oil and coal, and, you know, nuclear power is so heavily regulated that, you know, it's tough to do that, to have nuclear plants. So the sun is one of those things that you can count on, I hope, and it's really not as great a science as you may think.
Well, I saw a remarkable movie recently where it was called Peak Oil. And the gist of it is that it had to do with withdrawing oil from Cuba, you know, the oil embargo, and the United States cut off oil supplies to Cuba. Now, you would think that that would kill off the whole population. But what happened is that the whole population became speaking of cooperatives, they all gathered together and did all kinds of things to make it so that they survived. There wasn't any oil, so and it's a warm climate, but then they couldn't have any air conditioning. So, but there wasn't. The thing is that they grew their own food. There wasn't anybody who was starving to death. Now, people were not. There might be some hunger, but nobody was starving, and everybody was gathering together to help each other to create so that everybody got off the grid, basically. And I found it to be fascinating. So what we wanted to do in my own home here, now we live in a 2.5-3 acre farm along the river, and there's all kinds of things. I think that, you know, you can stop. You don't have to vacuum your house every day. You can sweep it. You can sweep your house. You can stop using all the electricity and live more simply and just do things that not use your – maybe get cars that run off solar – I guess there's, like, more electrical power now. But what's the technology for running cars on solar power? Is that something that might happen in the future?
I definitely think so. And, you know, the electricity, the electric cars, and this is – I'm going to – and I assume that you – you want some of my opinion. There's a little debate on it as to whether or not those are really the best things for the environment versus a combustion engine, because there are arguments that it more carbon put in the atmosphere to burn the coal to charge your car as it is to run the car on a combustion engine. But with that being said, the answer is to charge it with solar. And yes, the technology is definitely getting to the point where that can be done. If not completely done, then it surely can be assisted by solar, because, you know, that's the one thing that everyone needs to realize, is that solar doesn't have to come in and absolutely take the place of electricity, conventional electricity. It can it can be an assistant. And, you know, that's, a lot of people do think that if you go solar, you have to go off grid. And that's a wonderful thing if you can do it, but that's not that's really not even the most popular way to do it, because most places will let you do grid assist, and that's just, you know, you're producing however much electricity, and that part that you're producing, you're not having to pay for. So if you're using 20 kilowatts and you're producing 10, then you're only going to have to pay for 10. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but I definitely think that with electric cars, solar has got to be the way to go. And I know that there's some pretty innovative things going on with that.
Well, I just think that after I saw this movie, I began to realize that we're all going to have to think about very seriously about going off the grid entirely, or at least realizing that oil is not something that is, it's not really going to be available to us in the future.
I agree with that. I think that that we're definitely going to have to replace oil and with something. And, you know, this, well, and I know I sound like I'm beating my own drum, but that solar is just such an easy way to do it. And I, you know, I'm not trying to say that people need to do things the easy way, but it's definitely a way to produce energy. Clean, renewable, and it's kind
Safe.
Of a no-brainer. Safe.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the technology is so much more progressed, or, you know, much more progressive than it used to be.
It really
when
is.
Was,
and,
yeah.
And I want to put a plug in for solar hot water is something, in my opinion, there should not be any fossil fuels burnt to heat water. There's just no need for it. And, several countries, from what I understand, it's mandatory that you have solar hot water. And there's just no reason to not have that here. And it would save so much energy. It's incredible. I have it on my house, and it probably produces 90% of my hot water. So it's
wow.
There's just no reason to burn fossil fuels to do it. And so it's more cost effective.
What all do you have on your house?
Go ahead. On my house, I have solar hot water, and I have just to keep it simple, I have natural gas before I had solar hot water. I kept the natural gas system and put the solar hot water system in, and the solar water feeds the natural gas tank. So I kept the natural gas because you have to have backup, because you are going to have times when the sun's not out for a week and you've got to have hot water. So so I have solar hot water on my house. I have a solar attic fan, which will it's an exhaust fan. You mount it on your roof, and when the sun's hitting it, it just pulls the hot air out of the attic during the day, and then in the winter, it pulls the cold air out, which helps with the condensation, and in the winter is actually when most of the moisture problems happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have solar electricity on my house because, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but it is a fact, the town that I live in and one other town in South Carolina does not allow for any type of assistance in electricity. So you can't put solar, you can't have a generator, you can't have anything. And I do live in the South, and I do have, and if you have air conditioning, it's very hard to go off grid. So, but so I don't have solar electricity yet, but I think that's going to change real soon.
Well, you have you certainly have an audience here tonight, and I think people from Rock Hill are listening, and maybe they don't realize what you just said about you know, that area not allowing. For that kind of technology, but it's not something that couldn't happen. If enough people were cognizant of it, you could all sort of get together and very politely go to your Congress people and draw up petitions and change the law, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are so many other things that you can do. If a person comes to me and wants solar electricity or solar hot water is another entity in itself. That's kind of that's an easy one. But solar electricity, the rule of thumb is, well, I'll tell you, if you don't mind me telling you this, I had a guy that came in here and he was a missionary in Haiti. And he lived off of three little 80-watt solar panels and produced just a tiny bit of electricity. And said that in Haiti, electricity was so precious that people would kill for it. And he literally meant that. So I adopted that as my rule of thumb. If you waste electricity, then solar will not work for you. If you treat electricity as precious, then solar will definitely work for you, work for the environment, and also save you money. So... you know, with that being said, if you use X amount of electricity, no matter what, when you come in here, I'm going to tell you that you need to bring it down. And you can do it without changing your life. And one way, I know everybody has seen the CFL light bulbs, which are those curly ones. Those are really almost obsolete now because LED has taken the place of those. And you know, you can take a 60-watt incandescent bulb and get the equivalent out of an LED using maybe 4 watts. So, you know, saving right there 85, 90% of your lighting. And then there's just so many other things. There's, you know, there's Energy Star appliances, but then there's some that are really even much, much more energy efficient than those. And but anyway, so I guess what I'm getting at is we want everyone to reduce what they use, and then solar electricity will work for them.
All right, Craig, but the least expensive change you can make for somebody who's just starting to make changes like me, one of the least expensive things you can do is the light bulbs, right?
The light bulbs are probably the least expensive, but I'm not going to kid you, compared to a regular light bulb, they are very expensive, but the life of them they're about 50,000 hours, so that's a long, long time. And so yes, light bulbs are the best way, and you don't have to buy all of them at one time. And now they make them in so many different styles, and they're all the, you know, the typical Edison base. So you can get LEDs to pretty much fit in any application that you have in your house, to include the fluorescent tubes, too.
Wow.
Those have become real popular with us.
The LEDs to replace the fluorescents?
Yes. A fluorescent, a 60-watt incandescent can be replaced with a 15-watt fluorescent, which could be replaced with a 4-watt LED. So it really makes sense to do that. I mean, we're getting real close to having with LEDs to having free light. So little. And, you know, there's other things that go along with it. There's no heat involved, so it helps in a lot of other ways. And when you're talking about commercial applications, then you have, you know, less man hours changing bulbs and that sort of thing.
Well, I saw, I think it was on your blog, that you had been to Walmart, the new Walmart here, and they're using, what, skylights?
They are. I went in, and it's a brand new Walmart, and I looked around, because I guess now that's what I do. I looked up, and they didn't have a single light on that I could see. They had so many skylights in there that the whole place was lit up, and, you know, I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that people can do. There are things called solar tubes, and what they are is they're like a skylight, but they're designed to bring light into your house, not the heat that a skylight will bring. So there's diffusers on them on the roof, which will take the sun from any direction and then shoot it down through the light, through the tube, down to light up a room. And the same concept that Walmart used on their new store here.
That's amazing. If all the new construction did that, that would be an amazing change, wouldn't it?
Well, it really would. You know, you would never have to turn a light on during the day, and you don't get the heat that windows can let in, and skylights. I have skylights in my house that I put in 10 or 15 years ago when I had it remodeled, and I have to keep shades closed on them because in the summer it's about 140 degrees right on the inside of them.
Whoa.
It makes my air conditioner run constantly around those.
I bet.
But that's why I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's a question in the chat room. This is from Joan's sister, Betty. She says that she lives in a very old home. I think it's the 1930s, she says, with limited funds to go solar in her home. So what would you recommend that she start to do in a basic, least expensive investment to improve her home situation, especially her power usage?
Well, the first thing I would do power usage-wise is to change the lighting. If she hasn't already gone to LEDs or CFLs for that matter, because CFLs do compact fluorescence, they do cut utility rates in half for lighting, at least half, but the LEDs will go even further than that. So that is one thing I would do, and I would be very conscious of, you know, there's little things. I mean, your dryer in homes actually use as much energy as anything, and, you know, there are dryers that will cut off when the clothes are dry, as opposed to like mine that stays on until the timer tells it to go off. So little things like that, making sure when you wash dishes you only wash full load so you don't wash so many, but just being real conscious of what you're doing. Televisions and stereos and those kind of things that have remote controls, they're really on when they say they're off. Those are called phantom loads, and get power strips and plug those into power strips, and when you're not going to use them or you're going to be gone all day, cut the power strip off. And those little things like that, and it really, really does add up. And then you can do things like these solar attic fans they're great and I think that you get more bang for your buck in the summer because they are pulling more heat out than they will cold, in my opinion. But they're, you know, $500 to $700, and they're just really, it's very simple. When the sun hits them, it's kind of like the turbines that you see on houses that when the wind blows, it has to spin them to put the air in and suck the air out. These just run, they have a solar panel mounted on it onto a DC motor, and it's just sucking the air right out. They're great.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you could do one thing in your house less than $1,000, that would be the thing to do.
I would definitely do the lighting.
The lighting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's what people got from Al Gore's movie, Inconvenient Truth. He talks about the light bulbs. But I just can't help but think that there's so much more than just the light bulbs.
Oh, well, there is.
I just don't want people to think that that's really going to solve a big problem and everything. When there is so much, I think light bulbs is one thing, but there's so much more that should also be done.
You know, there is. There's plenty. There, you know, when I first got in this business, I had a guy that told me that he owned one of the first solar dryers that was ever invented.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out what he was talking about, and he was joking, and he meant a clothesline. And to be honest with you,
yeah,
that is one way to save a ton of energy, is if you can stand to dry some clothes on a rack or towels or whatever, any time that your dryer's not running, then you're saving money.
Well, we hung them on the line for years.
Oh, yeah.
Clothes on the line most of my life, you know.
And
well,
that,
really, that says a lot right there. The whole idea of not using a dryer is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And maybe people should think about washing their dishes by hand.
That?
Is the dishwasher a terrible strain, do you think?
Well, there you can go online and you can see some very smart people that'll debate whether or not it's less expensive to wash in a dishwasher versus using the hot water in a sink and all that. But a very efficient dishwasher, I think, is a safe way to go. And there are really, really energy efficient ones out there, and not just the Energy Star. So you can, you know, if you go, and it's not necessarily at the big box stores, but there are places that can guide you in the right direction to find those brands that are such misers on energy. Washers and dryers, same thing. You know, I have the solar hot water, and so, you know, there are things that I can do with that to save energy too, and that's I wash dishes. I have my dishwasher on a timer, so I wash dishes during the day when it's making hot water and making free hot water. And if I ever need to wash clothes in warm water, then I'll do that during the day too. So, you know, there are little things that you can do to help along the way, and I'm very serious about this. I was never conscious of it till I opened this business, and now that I am, my energy costs have probably been cut in half, at least.
Oh, my goodness.
Just from really being cut, and I have two teenagers at home, so it's...
Well, that's great. That's great.
And most of that, now I will say, most of that probably is coming from my hot water savings. But I've cut down on electricity and brought the daily consumption way down, probably averaging at least half as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of questions in the chat room. Go ahead.
Like I said about sweeping the house as opposed to vacuuming, I think that would be a big one.
Definitely. Anytime you don't have to plug in something, then you definitely can do that. And vacuum cleaners use a lot of electricity, too. So
well, that's good to know. That's good to know, yeah.
And hair dryers.
Hair dryers. Oh, I bet.
And you can get, we have actually these really cool devices, and probably everyone's seen them, but they're called kilowatt meters. And anything that you want to know how much electricity it's using, you plug it into it, and it'll read out how many watts it's using. And so you can tell what's what's really sucking up the energy.
So what all do you sell on your store?
Well, we have the solar electricity and solar hot water. Those are our biggest items. And then we have rain barrels. We have several different types of solar hot water. We have the solar attic fans. We have compost. We have garden composters. We have kitchen composters. We do anything that would aid people in bringing power where they can't get electricity or wires pulled to. So we do portable power. Anything conservation-wise. Now, wind, I know that you had mentioned it, and unfortunately in our area, there's no, we don't have enough wind anywhere to be able to put up any wind turbines.
Right.
Lots of people want that, but unfortunately we just don't have it.
Well, my next question would be, you have an online store or not?
We don't have an online store, but we do have a very good web page, and we have considered doing the online store and just haven't decided on that yet.
Probably not a bad idea, because you could do well with that. You know, you don't have to think of a local customer.
Oh, yeah.
You can think about customers from all over the world.
You're right. You're right. And we're working with somebody right now on that, and the bigger projects have pretty much taken up the bulk of our time, and it just hasn't been something that we've been able to concentrate on that much, but we are going to consider that.
Yeah, time is difficult,
oh,
I think.
Our dear friend Charlie is in the chat room, and she's in Australia, Craig, and she's asking about CFLs. Is that what you were talking about earlier, right?
That's compact fluorescent lights, yes.
And what are the cost of the LED lights in the United States?
Well, for an LED light that you would just put in a lamp, you're looking at probably $25 to $30 per bulb.
Okay.
And CFLs would probably cost $4, $5, something like that. But the LED is going to use probably 80% less power and last 5 times longer.
Wow. So the LEDs are the way to go to replace all the light bulbs.
I think so. We just did a local credit union, a new credit union, and we put all LED lights in, and they use the 4-foot tube lights. And those lights, the tube lights are, if you use them 24 hours a day, they're 50,000 hours. If you use them less than 20 hours a day, they'll last 100,000 hours. So 100,000 hours that's 10 years or longer.
Oh my goodness. I believe
if my math is right. So they really do last a long time, there is sticker shock up front. There is, and I will tell you right now that when you tell somebody that a light bulb may cost them $30, their jaw usually hits the ground. But
if you did one a month.
Oh, anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Because every one would make a difference, I would think.
Oh, they will. And it's all math. There's no secrets or anything. All you got to do is just sit down and do the math, and you'll see that you will save over time.
Now, Craig, what about the fact that these CFLs contain mercury? That was a question in the chat room, and it's always bothered me, too. I worry about disposing them.
Well, that is a problem. And to my knowledge, I'm not sure if we have a local disposable CFL place right now. And my partner is shaking his head. No, we don't. And okay, that's what I thought. There are companies you can pay to dispose of them. they're going in the trash cans where they're going. And everybody knows that. And they do contain a little bit of mercury. And, you know, I think that on one side of the argument, the CFL people will tell you it's not enough mercury to hurt you or whatever, but, you know, enough of them in a landfill is definitely a problem. It can't be good.
But if it's going to last 10 years, in 10 years we'll probably have some place that disposes of them, right?
Probably. I would certainly hope so. And that was one of the things that, you know, that is a big objection that people do have to CFLs, and I understand it is the mercury in them. Some people don't, it doesn't bother them. Some people just absolutely won't get near them. And I think the LED is just it just came along at such a great time that I just think that mercury part is going to be a moot point because everyone's going to go to LED.
Yeah, so that doesn't have any mercury in it. You just said that. So that's very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't have any plans of buying any more CFLs. The big box stores have already beat us to death on price, but now they're for what we want to do, they're obsolete. For what some people want to do, maybe not, but for what we want to do, we want to stay on the edge. We want to stay on the cutting edge and really, really get that down. And if we can get somebody a bulb that's using 4 watts of power, then, you know, there's only so far that they can beat that, and we'll take our chances on thinking that that may be the best route to go right now.
Right.
So the LEDs last longer than the CFLs?
They do.
Okay.
CFLs typically about 7,000 hours, something like that, and the 7 to 9,000, and the LEDs about 50,000.
Oh, yeah. Way over. That's great.
And for any local people, we have a lot of them on display, and we have them on a meter, and we can show you what incandescents use, we can show you what CFLs use, and we'll show you what LEDs use, and you get to see if you like the light. So, because it is a little bit different, but they're really, really coming a long way with what all they're doing with LEDs.
I would think so.
Yeah, and one of the problems is the LED, from what I understand, an LED light, those little tiny lights, they shoot straight out. And that's great if you got something straight ahead, but, you know, in a lamp, an incandescent bulb spreads the light. Well, now they're making the diffusers on them and putting the LEDs in circles, and it's just incredible all the stuff they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure they've got everything, all the applications that they need to go forward with it.
And what would happen if people went completely off the grid? Is that something that is something that could possibly happen in the future?
Oh, it's definitely doable. It is going to be hard if you use air conditioning. If you don't use air conditioning, it would be very easy. Now, we have, as a matter of fact, we have one PV client that, and that's solar electricity, that he didn't go off grid, but he just went in to do a grid assist, and this is outside of the city limits, so he was able to do it. And he is now, he's producing more than he uses. So the company that he buys electricity from only does energy credit, so his best bet is to net it out. But what I'm getting at is he could easily go off grid because what he's got on his house is producing more than he's using. So,
that's amazing.
And then the problem with going off grid, or some of the problems, is if, you know, people probably see that their electric bills spike and go down like a roller coaster. Going off grid, you know, in the summer and in the winters, going off grid, you kind of pretty much got to have that as a, you're only going to be able to produce so much. So you're only going to be able to use so much. And so you need to, you know, you have to kind of even that out. And air conditioning, and if you use electric heat, that's going to make it hard. But, you know, you can heat with wood stoves, and you can heat with water. You know, a lot of people still up in New England do heat with water. No one down here does. But so, and if you can live without air conditioning, absolutely you can go off grid.
What would be the alternative to air conditioning? If maybe there isn't any.
Well, we lived a lot of years here with the ceiling, with the attic fan. In fact, we were talking about it last night because we miss it. It's broken. But we miss it because it's so nice, especially in the spring and the fall, just to air out the house. You know, you just turn on the attic fan and it just brings in the air. It's wonderful.
I had mine on last night. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things, and I hope no one gets mad at this, but we could maybe not be quite as spoiled and, you know, live not with a 72 degree temperature, but maybe 78 or something like that. You can build your house. You can tighten up the house and really insulate it where, you know, the hot weather doesn't penetrate your house and the cooler air in the house doesn't get out. And, you know, you can do that with the most loss of energy in a house is typically in the windows. So you can do different things there. And, you know, we have products for that too. And so, you know, those that tighten up your house, you can do it. They're working on making solar-powered air conditioners, but I don't even want to go there yet because I don't think it's a very doable thing right now.
But, Craig, I can remember, 40 years ago when we first came here, and Mr. and Mrs. Adams would close the blinds, close the drapes every day when they went to work in the summertime. And I didn't understand that, but what they were doing was keeping the heat out. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
It was keeping the house cool in the daytime. And that was before any of us had air. That was, you know, years ago. But, you know, they made a point of what they called closed up the house before they went to work every day.
That's a great comment because they do make thermal drapes or thermal window treatments for that very thing.
Right.
And so that is another good thing. If you have a window that during the day the sun's just blaring through it and cover it with something, a heavy, you know, window treatment or blinds or something, and keep as much of the hot air as you can out.
And we are all just spoiled.
Well, we are. And I am too, I guess. And that's what my partner and I, we don't want anybody to change their life, you know, unless they're willing to. But there's just so many things you can do to save. And if everybody could just be conscious and cut their utilities in half, we would never have any utility problems here and brownouts or please don't, you know, use electricity during this 100-degree weather or turn your air conditioners off or whatever. It's just, we just waste way, way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And when you waste it, it's just a, you know, that's a piece of coal that got burned for no reason, and that's carbon in the atmosphere for no reason if you're not using it.
Well, there's so many times when you go in a restaurant, or for me, I have to take a sweater in the summertime to wear inside because it's so cold. And, you know, as I said, we are spoiled to that. You know, just as a generation, I just think we're all that way. We're used to, you know, grab a sweater and go out to eat, which is silly in the summertime. But
it's such a terrible waste.
It's an incredible waste when you're talking
scary.
About a business that's open, you know, so many hours a day, and they're keeping it so cold. And you know, most people perfectly comfortable at 78, 77, 78. There's no need in bringing it all the way down. But
And the hospital I work in is so, so cold at night. And during the day, you know, hours of the day and night, I just can't help but think that it's just, it could be avoided. It could be eliminated by, everybody has to have a consciousness about saving and, you know, trying to save the earth. And I don't I don't think Americans especially have that consciousness.
Not yet. We're working on it. But I always thought the hospitals had to keep the temperature low because of equipment. Is that not true?
I think it's true, yeah.
So what's needed is to have areas that don't have to be quite that low, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Some judgment in places, I guess. Because I know Betty's in a hospital and she wears a jacket all the time.
Yes, I almost wish I could wear a coat.
Now she's
cold.
Agreeing. Yeah, she's in the chat room agreeing with us. But yes, it's cold. You know, hospitals are just cold.
Craig, what exactly is your website so we can type it up in the chat room?
Oh yes,
it's esopsolar.com.
HTTP.
Are you typing that, Jen?
Esopsolar.com. I did, and your blog is. I had that this morning.
Let me see. Hang on one sec. ESOP Energy Options, WordPress.com.
Yeah, I took a quick look at that today. It looks great. When did you put that one up?
We did that one about 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a... I believe it's a 3.1 kilowatt system with a guy that lives right outside of the city limits. He lives on the lake that's local here, and we're actually going to have an open house at his house because it does look that good. We asked him if he would do it, and we're going to do that, and he agreed to it, and hopefully introduce it to some other people that just really don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's great to educate people. I think it's excuse the pun, but it turns a light bulb on in people. Like, oh my gosh, there's something I can do to change the world here.
Well, I think what we need to focus on is that there's a simple something I can do, a one at a time little something I can do in my house that will make a difference. And
yes.
And then grow on that thought. You know, if you start with one light bulb and then by the end of next year you have most of them, then that's progress.
Instead of doing
nothing. Right.
It's like getting an exercise program to become more healthy. When you do that, then the next thing you do is add better food and, you know, you cut out maybe coffee or whatever. You know, you just do one thing at a time and it grows.
Right.
That's true. And my partner and I, you know, we have had to do that. We buy, each of us buy LED lights just a couple at a time because, I mean, we definitely can't afford to replace 10 or 20 bulbs at one time, but we're just doing a little bit at a time and just kind of trying to make, you know, a notch in it. And someday we'll be where we want to be, but we'll just do a little bit as we can.
That's right, and I think that's what people can hear, because I always thought, my gosh, I'd have to rebuild the house to do anything to make it more energy efficient. But I'm hearing you say today, heck, I can start with light bulbs. Light bulbs I can do. I understand light bulbs. It's not a major change or a major expense to take on just gradually changing light bulbs. You know, that's doable.
That is a doable one. And for anybody that wants to take the next step, my suggestion is to look at solar hot water, because that has the fastest payback. And, you know, we just have to face it. A lot of people are interested in saving money, too, as well as the environment. And the payback on that is generally 4 to 6 years. And that may seem like a long time. But the answer to that is what is your electric hot water heater or your gas hot water heater paying you back in 6 years?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not a thing.
Right.
The only thing that it's going to do is it's going to be more expensive because I think it's pretty safe to say that rates are going to go up.
I think we should also do what we should do as Americans. This is a thought I needed to put out there, is to learn from the European nations, and because they have done so much to conserve energy in those countries that we could learn so much about. In this country, we seem to think that we can't learn from anybody, you know, but that's so wrong. And countries that have already done things, we need to learn from them instead of saying, well, we have a distinctly different American way of doing things. No, we don't. We can learn from these people, from their countries, and incorporate that into our lifestyle.
I think walking
more, bicycling, because getting off the grid, you can just definitely bicycle more, and that kind of stuff.
Right. I think I heard that Germany uses close to as much as anybody in solar power, and they have one of the least exposures to the sun during the day for an average over the year. But they still are using more than we are. And then in the Scandinavian countries, they use composting toilets, which makes it where they never have had a water problem. And, we've had some serious droughts, and flushing toilets is the biggest use of water. And, and I know people get squeamish when you talk about those kind of things, but there are other ways. There really are. And others have done it, and we just have to,
we learn from
have
them.
To look.
And we had a scary drought last year. We really did. In Georgia, I know, had a horrible time. And it's frightening because we always think, oh, there's plenty. Well, that's not necessarily true.
We have an outhouse where I live. I don't use it, but certainly could. It's a great alternative as well.
Well, at least you know it's there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I know that, Craig, we do what is called Squidoo lenses. I don't know if Joan ever told you about that, but it's a site on the Internet where you create these web pages, basically. And
mm-hmm.
You could create a web page about this show, for instance. But there is a Squidoo lens about outhouses.
Wonderful.
Fascinating one, yeah. Well, we only have 1 minute remaining on this program.
Oh, Craig, you've just educated us. It's wonderful.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it very much. I appreciate y'all asking me to be on this.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. Yeah, and certainly, as we all learn to incorporate some of these things, we can have you back and see how far we've all come.
Anytime. Y'all just let me know, and I'd love to.
Thank you.
You're fabulous. Welcome, and my partner is a wonderful resource too. So
good.
So you got two of us.
Great.
Great.
Delighted.
Thank you.
Delighted. Thank you, Tim.
Oh,
I
don't know if he heard it yet, but
well, the show will be on podcast, right, Kate?
Yep, and it will go up on iTunes. So we'll get to that information for you, and then you can use it on your web page. You can actually put it up there.
Oh, great. Right.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if you know how to do that, but somebody can. Joan probably knows how. She'll tell you how.
Oh, no. I'd have to call Kate.
I'll let Tim do that.
But it is a great addition. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I'm going to be playing some music right now from Klaus Jensen, Music for Mother and Child, and Closing Out. And thank you again, Craig Ferguson. Love you, Joan Adams. Thank you, everybody
you.
In the chat rooms. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Good night.